Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, NovoEd is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, NovoEd taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with NovoEd to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the NovoEd Talks podcast, a space for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk. I am the producer of NovoEd Talks, and today I am joined by Renzo Urzua. Did I say that right, Renzo?
You did.
Awesome. Renzo is a global training manager at a Fortune 500 company and is a seasoned professional who orchestrates training and design implementation. This includes the strategic alignment of universal resources, developmental initiatives, including AI and systems. Renzo, thank you so much for joining us today. It is a pleasure.
Appreciate the opportunity. Look, my name is Renzo, as you mentioned, and I work in a company where I make sure that our training programs are not only of the highest quality, but also up to date as well, and that they resonate with our teams, and which is spread across different continents all over the world. So I get to interact with a lot of interesting people on a daily basis. And I work on some pretty cool cutting edge technology and projects that, you know, keep our company and keep our training initiatives always on the cutting edge and on the cusp of new initiatives.
That's awesome. So with that, I'm sure getting into our next question, you know, who are your learners and what are some of the biggest challenges? I'm sure that kind of spans quite an array of folks and challenges, but could you speak to some of those?
In the time that I've worked over 20 years in the learning industry, you know, I've come across various people with different cultural backgrounds and professional backgrounds as well. And what they find that's tricky and it's ever evolving is the rapid pace that learning evolves. So they struggle also with, you know, regulations or in industry changes in those different countries as well. You know, and the hardest thing for them is, you know, coordinating training sessions across different time zones as well. You know, so sometimes it feels like scheduling a space shuttle launch with the different time zones. But yeah, they do find it, you know, the complex challenges and how training is ever evolving, you know, probably one of the hardest things.
Yeah. So how do you all kind of approach those challenges, like, or suggest? I know the time thing is something that probably can't be entirely resolved, but how do you approach some of those challenges with your programs?
Sure. I think one of the interesting things for me and one of the things that I really enjoy is keeping training relevant and keep it engaging to a worldwide audience. So, you know, it's a bit like, you know, putting together, you know, different recipes and different ingredients and making something and creating something that's suited for them, specifically for them. So we're constantly fine-tuning our training approach. And you have to also tune your training to a global framework as well. So it can be flexible for the different markets around the world. So this ensures that everyone, you know, whether they be in Shanghai or Chicago, you know, they find learning relevant and impactful as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the, you know, obviously being global, these challenges are even more present, but with the rise of remote work and virtual collaboration, how has your approach to learning and development adapted to ensure that employees are equipped with the necessary skills for the digital workforce?
I think that's a great question because COVID forced a lot of companies to actually go digital, where a lot of the training historically that I was involved with was face-to-face. It moved us, especially, you know, a lot of the companies that train vendors and, you know, have a vendor management program had to move them online. So moving our training into a remote learning format and accessible learning format was one of the challenges that we had with the remote work initiative that came through with COVID. But what we've done is that we've beefed up our virtual platforms, you know, integrate a lot of tools that enhance the interactivity in the learning. And we've placed a strong emphasis in training everyone in digital fluency, because you have to train people on how to use those systems as well. It's not just training about the program, but you have to train them on how to use, you know, the digital tools that are available for them as well, because this will ensure that the workforce is not just ready, but proficient in handling the tools and challenges from, you know, a digital perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something we hear a lot. And then how do you kind of identify and address, like, when you see skills gaps with some of those tools, or it could be, you know, beyond just using the tools and things like that, but how do you address, you know, at a global level too, those skills gaps?
I think to keep the training targeted and effective, you have to continuously collect data from, you know, performance analytics, direct feedback. One of the biggest things is direct feedback. We're always looking for constant feedback, because we could potentially think that as trainers, that our training program is the best. It's the best program. Nothing can beat our program, but we don't necessarily know if it is suit for purpose. So getting that feedback from users on, is it effective? Are we not highlighting enough? Should we go into more information? That's one of the pieces that's really key for me when it comes to putting together training programs is, hey, we don't know everything. We hope to know everything, of course, but if someone can give us a little bit of feedback in relation to, hey, how we can improve it, especially for the different cultures, I think that's really important. So, you know, we also, I've also been involved in, you know, regular strategy sessions with leaders across, you know, departments, across, you know, my career in relation to this, and, you know, giving them the heads up on learning initiatives that are loosely aligned with and closely aligned with immediate and long-term goals as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We've heard a lot of folks starting to do that more regularly within their organizations, like lining up goals with the more long-term business goals for the business itself.
Right.
How do you currently kind of, you know, you talk about feedback, but do you have any, and this is always a tricky question, but any kind of like core KPIs you use to measure like the effectiveness or even like feedback in your program?
I think that's something that I've always been very good at, that you're tracking how employees are finishing their training programs, what came out of their learning experience, but most importantly, you know, how their performance has improved with the results. I think that's one of the most important things that as a trainer you can develop, and one of the cool things that you can get as a result as well, if you have moved the needle when it comes to performance, right? So, you know, the key indicators that we look at include, you know, efficiency improvements, you know, error rate reductions, adherence to compliance standards, adherence to schedule even, you know, all of which we roll up into reports that help us show how, you know, learning and development contributes to the company's bottom line at the end of the day. But I think what's also important is to measure what your training program is currently doing and how that's helping the company potentially save money as well. That's a very important factor that not a lot of trainers actually use, but it's very good to measure the efficiency, you know, and cost savings and return on investment from a training management perspective as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know boards and CEOs and people like that are always very excited when you can showcase that. Makes
absolutely
everyone's lives a little bit easier. Do you have a specific kind of successful case study or example of an L&D initiative that significantly impacted employee performance that you could speak to?
Yeah, I do. And look, this case study kind of encompasses something that I've worked with globally pretty much all my whole training career. And it's understanding that not all cultures learn the same way. That's very important. So adapting training to how a culture learns, and it's about getting to know the people and how they learn. So, you know, what are the benefits for the team? What's in it for them? You can't base your training on a process and think that they'll instantly understand, right? Because we could think that, hey, our training program is the best, but they might not necessarily understand the context and the purpose of the training. So, you know, I've made sure that I get back down to the 101s, right? You know, this is how this program actually works. You know, what is it going to do? And, you know, give them a proper understanding of how things work. Call center experience these days just doesn't cut it in call centers, for example. So if someone's had an experience with a call center, that's not enough. You have to give them the bare bones of, you know, the training program that you're delivering. You know, do they know how a charity works? Do they know why people are calling? You know, the simple things. Have they used the program or the product themselves? So figure that out and find a way to create a better learning experience for your culture. Because I know that service level, you know, for every industry is king, but how do you expect to hit a service level when you haven't provided the agents the right tools to handle the actual calls themselves? So it's the little things in the training that make a whole world of difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And like sometimes we so often do that with so many things that we're close to, right? Oversee what we think is just like common knowledge. So that's great. Yeah. Have done that and seen success with that. What role does technology play in your L&D programs, and how do you leverage tools and platforms to enhance those programs?
So yeah, look, technology is the backbone of all modern L&D programs. And there is fear out there in training about using technology and, you know, AI and things like that. Is it going to replace jobs? And things like that. But look, from using virtual reality to AI avatars to simulators, you know, what's a better learning experience for the employee? You know, and where are you going to host these? You know, what's the platform that you're going to host these? So I think what we've done is we've leveraged a lot of the technology that's coming out and stayed on top of the technology and see if it's suited for purpose. There's a lot of AI programs out there that are white labeled at the moment, which, you know, take a little bit of each program, but they're not necessarily enough. So be careful out there in the learning industry. There's definitely, you know, some things that aren't necessarily suit for purpose. So do your research. But we leverage technology just to make learning not just effective, but also exciting for the learners as well. And I think the thing that's coming around in relation to technology is you have to make things short, sharp, and sweet, right? Everyone's getting used to the whole TikTok, you know, experience. So we've only got a really short attention span. So making a 30-minute or an hour or 2-hour video, it's not going to cut it. So how do you reduce that and make it short and little bite-sized sections, just like a TikTok video, to help, you know, learners understand?
I love that. And I love not just like the, you know, making it in a format that is consumable that matches with how we're consuming content now, but making it exciting too, and using technology to do that. I think so often, especially in, you know, business, we're like, okay, how can this help us achieve X, Y, Z? But we're not also seeing like, oh, there's benefits to just like maybe sometimes being a cool feature or whatever. Excite learners, which is also important. So that's
definitely
great that. As L&D programs have rapidly evolved over the past 5 years, we've talked about some of the changes specifically that you've seen. But what are some key takeaways that you would say kind of encapture the past 5 years and what we need to be thinking about?
I think one of the things that we've learned as trainers globally is that you need to be agile, and that the world is moving very, very quickly and evolving. And you have to have a certain level of adaptability to change your training strategies at fast notice, at a quick pace. And that's been real crucial. So keeping learning relevant, you know, engaging and accessible. So that'll ensure that our teams, you know, are equipped to meet the challenges of today and tomorrow. So I think that's one of the most important things, that you have to be agile and move with the times. It's very, very easy to get swept away with all of this technology and not necessarily know how it's evolving and how it can impact a training from a training perspective. And I've seen a lot of companies kind of shy away from that because they're afraid and not necessarily don't know or know how it's going to help them. But yeah, being agile is definitely important.
Yeah, absolutely. If there was one thing, I'd say that's the most important thing that everyone learned in COVID, right?
Right.
As the workplace continues to evolve, how do you see the future of L&D in addition, to being agile? But what trends or emerging technologies do you believe will shape the way for organizations to invest in their employees' growth?
I think the technology, and I mentioned a little bit before in relation to the TikTok example, is having someone speaking to you, virtual avatars. There are companies out there that have virtual avatars out there on the market at the moment. And it's like having a trainer available 24/7 whenever you want, but they're there and they're available to you. And I think the interesting thing about using, for example, AI avatars is that it feels like someone's actually looking at you because there's movement, even though they're not really there. There's movement, there's speech. So you're more inclined to listen when someone's looking at you directly. So that's been very, very helpful. But looking forward, I believe learning and development will increasingly rely on technologies like, AI and virtual reality to make learning more engaging and tailored. So the future is about creating learning experiences that's interactive and impactful, as well as informative, right? So we're heading towards a more dynamic and immersive approach to L&D, which we haven't had and we haven't done in the past. So it's now getting more exciting and it's constantly changing. So AI is constantly evolving. So ensure that, when you're looking at, AI programs, that they're moving with the times as well. I've seen a lot of technologies as well that release a feature and they rely on that feature pretty much for the life of the program. But if they're not constantly keeping up to date, then they're not moving with the times either. So yeah, it's all about making things exciting for the learner and embracing a lot of this new technology that's out there in the market.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like you mentioned, adapting to it, I think, and evolving with it and being agile with those technologies is super important. So I love that you said
exactly.
That. As our fun last question, Renzo, what advice would you give to those just stepping into a leadership role?
So look, being a leader is exhilarating, but it can be very daunting as well. So my advice is to continuously keep learning, always learn and stay open to new ideas. But one of the most important things is listen to your team. Sometimes your team members will be able to give you the solutions that you're looking for. So be very open with what they have to offer and what their experiences are as well, because you can look at that and how you can bring that onto your team and how you can enhance, the team dynamic as well. So be transparent as well with your team about, any challenges and celebrate all the successes, because that's important. So leadership is as much as about inspiring others as, as it is managing them. So don't forget to give that little bit of inspiration for yourself along the way as well, and never stop learning, which is my biggest advice. Always learn. There's thousands of free courses out there that you can always keep up to date with. And have a look at, things like LinkedIn are great as well for that. Have a look at what other people and other industries are doing. So keep yourself on top of the emerging technologies that are coming out.
Absolutely. And what a great send-off. I think that's advice anyone anywhere could take with them and apply to anything. Renzo, thank you so much for joining us on an episode of Novo Ed Talks. And thank you so much to all our listeners for tuning in once again.
Thank you so much, Spencer.